Hi, my name is Paul Langlois with The Tragically Hip, and you are listening to Life Minute.
Canadian rock band Tragically Hip is celebrating their 40th anniversary with the release of a new box set, a documentary, and more. Guitarist Paul Langlois and filmmaker Mike Downey joined us virtually to tell us all about it.
Mike did our documentary, which is now unbelievably finished and out there for consumption on Amazon Prime. You know, that's, I would say, the biggest thing that has happened because, you know, it tells our life story. So that makes one feel funny. But fortunately, we all really like it. Be a nightmare if we didn't. You know, I think it's really well done. And then we've had a few other, you know, put out a big coffee table book, which is kind of a companion piece, really. And then we just put out a box set, Up to Here, which is our first real record. And there's lots of cool things in it and, you know, unheard tracks. So, yeah, I mean, we're kind of at the point of asking each other, are we done for a while? Can we kind of just slip away and let the documentary and the book tell our story for a little while?
No dress rehearsal. This is our life.
I really wanted to tell the band's story. I had an idea about how to do it. I've had a chance over the years to do a lot of documentaries, and usually it's just a subject that I come upon and sort of learn as much as I can about it. And this one was obviously so different because it has to do with, you know, my brother Gord, his, you know, best friends and bandmates and what they did in this country for 35 years. So it was something that, you know, I guess I've been probably thinking about for a long time. The subject matter is something that I've just lived with, and it's such a great source of pride for me. Just what Paul and Gord and Robbie and Gord and Johnny, what they all did, I'm just so proud of on so many levels, you know, as a family member, as a Kingstonian, to try to tell that story and do it in a way that will, I hope, engage people that maybe, you know, didn't know the band or had kind of, you know, forgotten about how much the band meant to them. Like, just to try to tell that story in a way that would engage people. And Paul and the guys let me do it. You know, like, that's a big deal. And it was really a big deal for me.
You know, Mike was grilling us. It wasn't just like, oh, and it was all hunky-dory. And obviously, sadly, Gord got sick and died. We had a lot of ups and downs. And I would find myself wondering, is Mike asking me about only the tough stuff? And, you know, giving just softballs to the other guys. And it was when we started seeing the rough cuts, you know, maybe a year, almost a year before the documentary was finished, that I realized, oh, he was grilling the other guys too. You know, just asking about little things, which would be odd for Mike, but, you know, how did you feel when Gord started playing guitar? I just love it because when I watched it, I was just so looking forward to the other guy's answer to say a question like that, or a question like Gord wanted to start writing lyrics, be the only lyric writer from Road Apples, our second record on. And, you know, and everyone is very honest in it. And I think it makes a documentary that, you know, Mike was obviously around, not all the time, but he would probably hear about like little issues that had come up. So he had that advantage, and I think a very honorable goal to make this documentary real. And it wouldn't be real if it was all just all happy and everything went great for 35 years, never a problem, and then Gord died. So it's not like that. It dives into, it's a story.
First we'd climb the tree.
It was brain cancer and it was incurable, the worst of the worst.
Memories, which used to be my forte, and now I can't remember people's names and can't remember lyrics.
What he's planning to do next is nothing short of awe-inspiring.
We got together and started to rehearse to write an end to our own story.
But at the premiere at Toronto Film Festival, I watched half of it. I was sitting beside you, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, went outside and we were doing pictures. And I just thought, I don't think I can watch 3 and 4. I don't think I'll be in the right mood for the after party or whatever. But eventually I did sit down with Joanne, my wife, and we watched it at the cottage. And it's not an easy watch, but there's lots of love in it and lots of great memories and so much footage I'd never seen before.
We have meant so much to so many of us. And I don't mean just Canadians, but that's a big part of it. What a incredible index of songs. What an incredible collection of material. With 13 studio albums, you know, that's a lot of material to know. So I really feel for everyone who watches it that they're going to have a chance to kind of go back in the catalog, not just to the songs, the hits, the songs they know, but to the songs they don't know. In the second half of the career, there's every one of those records, and they didn't get the same recognition as the big ones, the Fully Completely and Trouble at the Hen House and Phantom Power, but every one of them has these incredible songs on it.
After shows on the road in Canada, America, and Europe, probably the most popular question was, are you guys ever going to put out a Live at the Roxy album? Because for some reason that bootleg provided, you know, where Gorb kind of went off on Rats, as he did, and we would follow along, and it was kind of the most famous one, called Killer Whale Tank.
I scrubbed the inside of the Killer Whale Tank.
The second most popular question would be, whatever happened to Get Back Again? That's the song that got to number one, and, you know, we couldn't really remember that well. We remembered it, we tried it for our first record, and maybe even our second, but definitely tried it for up to a year, and it just wasn't the same as the demo we had made with another guy in Toronto leading up to our first record. And so we went back and found that and had our sound expert remix it, but more true to the demo, which was a little more lush. There's something about it. Anyway, so yeah, it's the last song in the documentary. It kind of gets the credits going. And yeah, we released it as a single and it did really well. And it's a very personal sort of song. So it's just nice for us to have it see the light of the day, and nice that there was a good reaction to it. Most times it doesn't feel like 4 years, but there are times when it does. As Mike was alluding to, it was a lot and it was complicated. All the records, albums that we made were marathons and full of tension. You know, because everyone wants not only their ideas heard, but everyone is very opinionated when you're creating something and passionate about things. Yet you got to compromise all the time. When we were touring, yeah, it was grueling and we toured a lot over decades. We were getting along far better because we're not having to write the songs. We wrote them. And so all those tensions were gone. And plus you're playing in front of a crowd. You know, you're in Amsterdam or New York City or Toronto or Buffalo, everywhere was enjoyable to play. We feel very lucky about it and that we managed to get through it all and remain great friends and remain lifelong friends. Like, you know, when I see someone from high school, I just naturally am comfortable with them because you knew each other when you were young. And we have a lot of friends like that here, just growing up in smallish city, Kingston, and it's very rewarding. So add that to the five of us being from the same place and managing to get along and through getting married and having kids and, you know, the complications of scheduling, because we were on it. We were very committed. No, I feel proud about it.
You all need to sink in, man, and I don't want to swim.
I remember I installed an 8-track player in my mom's 1974 Chevy Impala, and I'd come out to jump in her car, which I treated like my own, and there would be Gord's feet sticking out the window. He was lying down in the front seat in the driveway, chunking in the 8-track tapes and listening to music when he was pretty young. He probably was 11 or 12, and I was 16, taking off in mom's car. And I drive around with him sometimes too and let him pick the 8-track to put in. Yeah, Gord was a fan. He was a real athlete. You know, he and Paul were both really good athletes, and that was kind of his main thing. But when we moved into Kingston, because we lived on the outskirts, about 10 miles outside of town, and Gord, within that first year, he met Paul the first day, high school in grade 11, and his world just changed. It just changed. And next thing I know, I'm coming home, and he's not playing 8-tracks because they're gone, but he's got Elvis Costello's My Aim Is True album that he picked up. Yeah, he had good music. He had good taste. And then, you know, he fell in with these guys, first high school band. They were all serious music fans. And he just went from there.
Just a singer that would turn heads who is this guy? And wow, it's such a dancer. I mean, he became kind of a dancer slash actor as the years went on, but he just had to move. And I think it just was a unique bunch and a tight band with really best front man I've ever seen.
As Paul said, he figured out that he could be somebody to watch. And I think that really nails it.
In the middle of that riot, couldn't get you off my mind.
I'm hoping what's next is not hip things. I mean, you know, we're very much in touch. And after the obvious fog and individual grieving of Gord passing away, we weren't in touch. Like, honestly, maybe we'd have a conference call once every 3 months and no one was into doing anything. And it just took a long time to get anywhere near the headspace of, hey, we should start doing things. And would credit our manager, Jake Gould, who came back to us after 17 years. And this was right in COVID. And so we just started having calls, Zoom calls, and sort of coming back to each other again and just talking about what to do, like these box sets. You know, we've done a few of them and it takes a lot of work. We'd credit Johnny Fay, our drummer, for doing a whole lot of that work of finding things in all these labels, all old tapes, 2-inch tapes. But we've done a bunch of stuff since sort of coming back together and played a couple of times with very special circumstances with a friend of ours named Feist, and like for a Juno's Award thing, and a guy named William Prince. But they were a special occasion. So there's no goal at all to play together. The four of us could play, and I'm sure it'd be fun. But at the same time, there's something behind it, I think, that worries me anyway, and maybe others. Just like, okay, the hip are playing again. And then all of a sudden, the business up here is kind of like, oh, yeah, I heard they jammed. You know, it's just something that we're okay for now not to do that. So we just did a lot of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, in much bigger news, the documentary and the book, and now this box set on the 40th anniversary, just feels like you should wait through the winter and spring to decide or even talk about any new things.
Yeah, I just really wanted to enjoy it. I've never had an experience like this, and I've never had an experience of like going to all these different film festivals, and I've sat back and I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed being with the guys in the band. I've enjoyed doing these things with Paul. I'll tell you this, my level of respect, you know, for everybody in the band has always been really high, because I've known them since high school. But it's incredible to go that deep, really 3 years, because we started doing the talks like this, you know, one-on-one on Zoom during COVID, talking to each member of the band. And my respect and really admiration for all four of them, it's gone higher. It's gone up for every one of them. I'm not just saying that because Paul's on the line. You can take Paul off and I'll tell you exactly the same thing. But it just has, because I just didn't know everybody's story. I knew it collectively and I knew it through Gord as much as I knew. But I didn't know all the little parts. And I just got to know everybody a little bit better, just sort of one-on-one, because that's what we were doing in the pre-interviews and the interviews. And then since then, as you know, we get together for the different occasions. It's been a great experience. Like I really, and I've also just been very aware of it, thinking this is unique and this is special. And so slow down and take it all in.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.